Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my immense pleasure to welcome our many listeners who tune in to Radio 4, the World Service, BBC 7, and also, of course, on the Internet. All around the world, welcome listeners. And also, it's a huge pleasure to welcome the four talented, exciting, and outstanding personalities who are going to play Just a Minute today. It's always a pleasure to welcome back that supreme comedian, one of the stalwarts of Just a Minute, who's back with us again, and that is Paul Merton. We also have one of the stalwarts of the game in the sense that he's been with us since the show began, and one of the most consistent regulars, and the ever resourceful and entertaining Clement Freud. And we have someone who's only been with us once or twice before, but has been so successful, we're thrilled to have him back. An American, a stand-up comedian, works a lot in this country now, that is Greg Proops. And we also have someone who's never been on Just a Minute before. So that is a challenge for him. And he is an outstanding comedian who's doing very well in Edinburgh this year. He comes from Dublin originally. He now works mostly in this country. And that is Dara O'Brien. Please welcome all four of them. As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janice Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from Edinburgh. We're up here once again during the festival. And we have we're at the Pleasance, one of the venues here, and we have a wonderful, excited festival fringe audience in front of us, who are really hyped up, eager to get going. They've waited a long time to get in. They want to get the show started. So we'll start straight away with a very topical subject. Paul, it's called fringe benefits. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, it's wonderful, isn't it, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival? You get so many marvellously talented comedians up here. You can meet many of them by standing on the Royal Mile, where they'll hand you a leaflet advertising their show. And if you take those leaflets home, you can turn...
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition of leaflets.
Yes, you had too many leaflets.
No, I had leaflet and leaflets.
You did indeed, Paul. Thank you for drawing my attention to it. Right.
Anytime I can help, it's a pleasure. Yes, can I say how well you're looking?
Thank you very much. Paul, so that was actually an incorrect challenge. So you get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. 49 seconds still available. Fringe benefits starting now.
Mould them into the shape of a tree or a Volkswagen, and it will always be a memento of the marvellous time you spent on the fringe. Of course, one of the other benefits attached to this marvellous...
Greg, you challenge.
No, I'm not sure, but I think he used the singular of marvellous twice.
How marvellous it was before.
No, the second one was marvellous as is.
Yeah. You wish it had been, but it wasn't. Right, Greg, you've got a correct challenge. You have a point for that, of course. You have 39 seconds. You take over. Fringe benefits starting now.
The Edinburgh Fringe is both exhilarating and exciting, insomuch as comedians can ply their trade in front of crowds in various states of inebriation and having consumed fried goods, the likes of which are not seen outside of the Edinburgh area.
And Dara, you've challenged.
He did say Edinburgh twice, didn't he?
You see, Dara, a newcomer, you've got the audience with you right away. There we are.
I'm leaving now. Job here is done.
No, you wait till I say now before you start, Dara.
Well, I wasn't going to start. I was actually literally going to leave now.
So you have a correct challenge in the first round. Good to hear from you, Dara. And you have 21 seconds, and the subject is fringe benefits, and you start now.
There are, of course, many ancillary benefits to working in Edinburgh for the month of August, not least the fantastic effect it has on your calves, because it's very difficult to get from A to B in Edinburgh without passing through...
Greg, your challenge.
I believe there was repetition of the word Edinburgh.
There was indeed, yes. It's a difficult game, isn't it, Dara? Explain to our listeners, I have two on my left and two on my right, and Dara and Greg are sitting side by side, so they pick up the Edinburgh much quicker than the other two did. Right,
Can you hear us over there?
Not yet. Not yet.
5 to 11.
Right, 5 to 11. You may lie. staff, you work in radio, the listeners like to have a visual image of how we are placed.
Then they shouldn't be listening to the radio, then. No good to you at all. You
I can't. Seem to be emanating from right above someone's kitchen sink right now.
Right, fine. Well, you have the subject of fringe benefits. You've got a point for that, Greg, and you have 14 seconds to speak on it, starting now.
The Royal Mile is one of the most exciting parts of the city that is the capital of Scotland. Of course, I'm not...
Hoochan, Paul.
There's a hesitation there.
There was a hesitation, yes. Oh. Having got round saying Edinburgh a second time, you thought, oh, you were carried away, and you paused.
I like to think of it as a dramatic representation of it. Sharp intake of breath in my surprise at having thought of something clever.
That's exactly what happened. And I'm afraid on just a minute you can't allow it, because they're far too quick nowadays.
Right.
So, Paul, you have a correct challenge, and you have fringe benefits back with you. 9 seconds starting now.
Hairdressers make a lot of money by selling offcuts to mattress manufacturers. And what they do is they stuff these bed linen with all kinds of different...
In this game, as probably everybody knows by now, but whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Paul Merton who started with the subject, finished with it, and at the end of the round, he's the one who's in the lead, quite naturally. Right, Greg, your turn to begin. Greg Proops. Subject is barbecues. Can you tell us something about barbecues in just a minute, starting now?
Barbecues are a great tradition in the land of my origin. Whether deep in the South, and it's just some hush puppies and coleslaw, baked beans, watermelon, pecan pie with hand-cranked vanilla ice cream, or out in the Southwest, whether it's...
Who challenged? Paul, yes.
Repetition of South.
You had South before, in the South, and then you had Southwest.
I think you'll find Southwest is an entirely different word than South.
I think it's hyphenated, but in radio, it's what you say. And you said South, you repeated South, so I'm afraid I have to give it against you, Greg.
Well, I acquiesce to Paul's ledger domain.
But can I ask you, do you really barbecue hush puppies?
They're delicious if you get the soul cooked just right.
Right. Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have 44 seconds. You have, not hush puppies, you have barbecues. And 44 seconds, starting now.
I would never put hush puppies on a barbecue, but you might as well, because often when you go to one of these barbecues, the food tastes appalling, as if you should be standing outside in all kinds of weather watching some poor devil trying to grill a half-eaten-looking sausage on some terrible arrangement. It's awful. The charcoal smell, it just burns. Everybody says, is it done yet? Yes, it's completely black. And then they all stand around and wonder why they've got indigestion. Barbecues aren't right at all, I think, because...
Greg, you've challenged.
I don't really have one. I accidentally hit the buzzer.
What we do there is, it was an incorrect challenge.
It was, yes.
So Paul, because he's interrupted, gets a point. All that happens, you're giving points to the others in the panel here. Paul, another point to you, and 19 seconds, barbecues starting now.
I suppose a lot of it's to do...
Clement challenge.
You have presupposed.
You like him, answer. What is your challenge when the rules of justice...
Repetition, he supposed last time.
Oh, yes, you did indeed.
Did I?
Yes.
So, Clement, you have the correct subject. I mean, a correct subject. Have a correct challenge. 19-second barbecue starting now.
Haggis, sporran, and lightly tossed cabers are what I would like to put on my barbecue. It makes the whole garden smell of roses.
Paul challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. It was thinking where?
Roses.
Yes, and he was thinking, I think of those cabers on his barbecue. Right, there are 7 seconds available still on barbecues, Paul, starting now.
I remember my father in the summer of 1976 determined to put together one of the finest barbecues ever seen by man.
So... Paul Merton speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and at the end of that round, he's increased his lead over the other three. And Dara, we'd like you to take the next subject.
Thank you very much.
And it is children's presenters. And you have 60 seconds as usual. Tell us something about them in this game, starting now.
Thank you for easing me in on this one. I myself, as you well know, used to be a children's television presenter, and it's a mistaken presumption that children's television presenters are all happy and clappy and primary colours and dungarees and sweetness and light, and they're not. It's a savage viper's nest of ambition and Machiavelli. They will kill each other just to get the next gig on. They all dream of being Cat Deeley or the next Anton Deck. They will stab each other in the eye with a fork rather than let the next person get the gig above them. And that's not to talk about the children, who are themselves evil and wrong. I worked at the Coalface with them for 3 years. My God, I wanted to throttle some of them. The special ones used to come in a big group going, Tamara, Tamara, I love you, Tamara. Yeah. And yes, yes, there was repetition of the word tomorrow, but I'm glad I got it off my chest. Yeah.
And for the first time, you've taken a subject in just a minute, you win for 37 seconds.
Thank you very much, you're very kind.
But they couldn't let that tomorrow and tomorrow go, and Clement, you were the first one to buzz, and so you have the subject, and you have 23 seconds available. Children's presenters, starting now.
When I was very young, I was told the children's presenter was a stork, and I believe that. It came from a huge nest, flew through the sky, holding babies for deserving parents. And it seemed a much more sensible and clean thing with which to present an unborn child than what? Shouldn't the whistle have blown?
Yes, you saw Janet pick up the whistle.
No,
and thought, oh, I'm all right now. Unfortunately, you should have kept going for another half second. Because Paul got in first, and we know what it was, hesitation, and Paul, half a second on children presenters, starting now.
Valerie Singleton was a wonderful woman. She appeared on Blue...
So, Paul, getting all those extra points, he seems to be speaking always when the whistle goes. He's leapt forward, and he got a stronger lead over the other three, who are training a little, but they're all equal in second and third place. They can't be equal in second and third place, but they're equal in second place. Right. Clement, we're in Edinburgh, and the subject we've got...
Oh.
Now, yes.
Have you had a sudden flash?
No. Somebody might just have tuned in at that moment.
Ah, yes.
Right. And the subject now is Ulrike. So would you, please, Clement, tell us something about Ulrike in this game, starting now.
I believe old is spelled A-U-L-D, but pronounced old nevertheless. I personally come from the south of this British Isles in which we live, and all I know about Ulrike is that it used to be a description of the evil smells that emanate from the barbecues of Edinburgh. Sporrans, haggises, lightly tossed cabers, all sorts of evil people who set themselves on fire and taint the sky so that nasally the intake of really unpleasant odours manifests itself throughout this southern part of Scotland and, for all I know, further distant places like Aberdeen and Tipperary, not to mention Tunbridge Wells and Maidstone, but Ulrike it is, and here we are. And bless.
Well, that hasn't happened for a while. Someone starting with a subject and keeping going for the full 60 seconds without being interrupted and without hesitating, repetition, or deviation. And not only gets a bonus point for speaking as a whistle went, but he gets a bonus point for the full 60 seconds. So, Clement, you have leapt forward. You're now in a strong second position behind Paul Merton. And for our listeners who are interested, not only was Clement right about the smoke and everything which came from the fires, that's why it was called Reiki, but also from the ghastly smells that came from what is now the Royal Gardens near Princes Street, because that used to be a loch where they threw all their rubbish and their filth and their dirt, and that would add it to it, and that's what made it old and reek. You couldn't care less, could you? Right. I think I'm actually playing for time here, because the next subject, I don't know, I think someone's got something, they're going to have a go at me from outside, but the subject on front of me is Sail of the Century. I'm dreading this, and it's Paul who's going to speak on the subject. Yeah, I think you're already on the wavelength. So, Paul, Sale of the century, 60 seconds, starting now.
The sale of the 16th century was undoubtedly the Armada. They came towards Britain, their ships full of angry Spaniards. Sir Francis Drake was playing bowls in Plymouth, and suddenly somebody came up to him and said, "Here, look over there, there's a great bunch of ships coming towards us." And so he dropped what he was doing and he ran down towards the coast, and he quickly constructed a raft out of a destroyed ship and sailed...
Greg Challenge.
I believe you repeated the word ship.
Ships.
He said ships before.
I thought there was three ships. There was a ship, a ships, and then a ship again.
No?
Am I wrong?
There was ships. He had ships when he talked about Francis Drake and his ships. I'm sorry, Greg. Good attempt. But it wasn't accurate. So, Sail of the Century is still with you, Paul. 36 seconds available starting now.
Has there ever been a more ridiculous quotation on television? And now, live from Norwich, the quiz of the week. What a ridiculous farrago it was throughout the 1970s.
Dara Challenge.
That was ridiculous twice, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yes, it
I
was.
So.
Yes. Well, listen.
I wasn't listening.
I'm not...
I've heard it before.
He did repeat ridiculous, and you've got 27 seconds. You tell us something about Sail of the Century starting now.
Sail of the Century seemed to paint a wonderful picture of England, which is an unusual thing for Irish people to think, because it seemed to give an impression that in England you could buy a fridge or a car.
And Paul Challenge.
Two Englands.
Two Englands,
two Englands yes.
And there are, apparently.
Yes.
yes, right. So, Paul, you got in again. 19 seconds. Tell us more about Sail of the Century, starting now.
The befuddled quizmaster would sit in the middle as various greedy pensioners from around the British Isles would say, "I'll have the kettle for £5, the Volkswagen for £6, and I have Aberdeen for £24.
Clement Challenge.
Three fours.
Yes. For £6, for £4. For Aberdeen, for so forth, yes. It's a bit of a tough challenge, but it was correct, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But he's determined to get in. He's determined to get in on Sail of the Century, so 8 seconds for you, Clement, on Sail of the Century, starting now.
The sail of the last century was certainly Robin Knox Johnson sailing around the world in a small boat, which he...
So, Clement Freud was in, speaking as a whistle, when gained that extra point. He's now just a few points behind our leader, Paul Merton, and Dara, Brian and Greg Proops are equal in third place. Greg Proops.
Yes, Nicholas.
Your turn to begin.
And it's nice to hear me back on the show.
You've hardly been away. And you have 60 seconds as usual. The subject now is a stiff upper lip. Tell me something. No, I give you.
I know, but I'm always waiting to get nailed for hesitation, so I feel extra anxious and I want to jump in right away.
That's why I say now, so that they eliminate that.
I don't follow directions well, Nicholas.
Well, stiff upper lip with you, Greg, starting now. Yes, Paul, what was your challenge?
Hesitation.
Wicked so-and-so, no. I'll tell you what we do, because the audience enjoyed that so much, give Paul a bonus point, because he did it more for fun than to be serious within the rules of the game. And, Greg, you get a point because you were interrupted. You still have a stiff upper lip. You have 59 and three-quarters of a second. Starting now.
Being from the United States, a stiff upper lip is not something that I'm entirely used to, because where I'm from, we're emotional and...
Dara Challenge.
Yeah, it's from twice.
Yes, there was a from twice. My gosh, you're listening sharp, aren't you?
Aren't I?
Yeah. He's picked it up quick, isn't he? I thought I'd let that one go.
Yeah. So those are some of the sharp challenges.
I still don't understand the deviation rule. I mean, in his 60 seconds about old Ricky, he ended up in Tunbridge Wells at one stage. I thought I'd let that one go.
No, you were right. You're playing it with a sharp, incisive attitude.
I'm being picky, aren't I? That's what you're trying to say.
That's good.
But you're getting points and you're getting into it. Right, Dara. So, 50 seconds. You tell us something about a stiff upper lip starting now.
It's not...
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation. Yeah.
I'm afraid there was, but as it is the very first time he's played the game, I'm going to be generous to Dara and say, Paul, you have a point for a correct challenge. Dara, you have a point for being interrupted, and you keep going, and do start as soon as I say now. A stiff upper lip starting now.
Being Irish. Right.
Ah! It wasn't me.
Yes.
Deviation.
Why?
He started too quickly.
Ha, ha, ha. Well, the only thing I could do is that I gave Paul a bonus point when he challenged for hesitation when it wasn't Clement. You get your bonus point, which I'm sure you want, for that particular suggestion. Which you,
but would it be safe to say my honeymoon period is over?
48 seconds are still available for you, Dara, on a stiff upper lip, starting now.
Being Irish, it always...
Paul.
Have we not had being Irish about three times?
I've never got a chance to finish the phrase.
Yes, but not in this round.
Really?
Yes, really.
Is it a catchphrase?
Well, I've heard his stand-up comedy and he doesn't mention it.
I seem to have heard it an awful lot.
If you're new to the game, it's a good way of beginning, isn't it?
Well, it's like being Irish.
Yes. I mean, so it's a bit silly if I was...
So the two words being Irish have got me with hesitation, deviation and repetition.
I haven't weighed in yet.
So, Dara, you had another incorrect challenge. You have another point. And you still have a stiff upper lip. And believe it or not, there's still 46 seconds to go. And you start now.
As a paddy.
Poor challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
You didn't start with being Irish.
Oh, give Paul another bonus point. You have another. Don't start with as a paddy of being Irish. You'll think of somebody else getting right. I don't mind how you start, as long as you don't repeat it.
Oh, no, this sentiment is going to be expressed no matter how you want it.
Right, 44 seconds of stiff upper lip, Dara, starting now.
Not hating from these shores, it amazes me the level to which the English would endure things with a stiff upper lip. I was on a holiday recently, there was an English woman in the group.
Clement, challenge.
Two English.
English woman, English, though, is surely a word.
No, not an English woman, no. English and woman, no. I don't think you even hyphenate them.
No, I know, yeah.
It's a good try.
Thank you.
Clement, correct challenge. 35 seconds still available. A stiff upper lip starting now.
There are people in this country who think, even if they're Irish, that a stiff upper lip is a tremendous...
Poor challenge.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation. We never knew what that tremendous was.
You will.
28 seconds are available for Paul on a stiff upper lip with you starting now.
I always think of Robert Donat in the Alfred Hitchcock film The 39 Steps as being the personification of the stiff upper lip. The movie begins with him in a movie.
Dara, you tell
me. I think I was just the first of many at that point.
Yes, right, yes. Dara, correct challenge. 19 seconds, a stiff upper lip starting now.
The very definition of a stiff upper lip for me was on a trip to Africa this year where a woman hailing from England...
Challenge, Paul.
Repetition of woman?
Yes. So, Paul, it's Clement, you press, do you want to say something? No, you don't.
Yes. not immediately.
Not immediately. Paul, another correct challenge, and you have... A slight state of hysteria prevailing at the moment, but that's the festival fringe for you. It all builds and it goes and it builds and it mounts and excitement and pleasure and joy and fun and humour.
Talk slower.
Right, 13 seconds for you, Paul. A stiff upper lip starting now.
If you prepare a plate of starch, then once it's the right consistency, you put a brush in it and start applying it to your upper lip, and within moments you'll be able to walk around Edinburgh and people will say, "My goodness!"
So Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained that extra point. He had others in the round. He's now in the lead, not quite so far ahead. And we have now two equal in second place, because Dara O'Brien got quite a few points in that last round. And he's now equal in second place with Clement Freud, and Greg Proops is bringing up the rear just behind them. Well, he won't be, this. And we're moving into the last round, by the way. So, Clement, it is also your turn to begin. And the subject, delightfully Scottish, this one, Robert the Bruce. Tell us something about him in this game, starting now.
I was once asked whether I knew the connection between Robert the Bruce and Winnie the Pooh, and of course, it is that they share a middle name. What is always important to remember is that Dunkirk, the Battle of Hastings, and the Charge of the Night Brigade are, apart from Bannockburn, our finest hours. And it was Robert the Bruce who beat the English at that 14th-century battle.
Greg, challenge.
A bit of a hesitation.
It was a bit of a hesitation. He was trying to think another word for Bannockburn, and unfortunately
it
failed. But give him a bonus. give him a bonus point throughout, because he had this incredible round of applause, and I told him to keep going through the applause, riding the laugh, as you might say. So he has a bonus point for that, but he was interrupted. Greg, you have a correct challenge. You have 28 seconds. Robert the Bruce, starting now.
William...
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
Oh, that was hesitation.
It was hesitation.
Shut up. I hate this game.
Oh, he's broken down now. Greg.
I'll stagger through.
Yeah, immediately. Right, Clement. You have a correct challenge, and you have 27 seconds available. Robert the Bruce, starting now.
When in prison, Robert the Bruce had this meaningful relationship with a spider, the insect, not the thing you use playing snooker. And what he admired so very much about the four-legged thing that crept was its perseverance. He felt...
Dara, you've challenged.
Presumably a four-legged spider. Has to be, somebody has to pick up on that. That's got to be wrong in any man's
right,
mind.
Because spiders don't have four legs, they have six.
No. Let me put it to you really simply, right? Spiders are eight-legged creatures.
And that's right.
Yes, not this spider.
Oh.
Might have been a spider with special needs. We don't know. We weren't there. We weren't. Were you there, Nicholas?
Almost my period, but not quite. Yeah. No. I was doing a sort of Bannockburn Sale of the Century, but it didn't work. Dara, yes, they don't have four legs. They have eight, as you say. So you have a correct challenge, and you have 10 seconds on Robert the Bruce starting now.
All I know of Robert the Bruce is what I've seen in the film Braveheart, a film about Scotland.
And Paul, challenge.
Sadly, repetition of film.
Yes, sadly, yes. I know. No. 6 seconds, Robert the Bruce, Paul, starting now.
When I think of Robert the Bruce, I can't help but conjure up the sound of bagpipes, the heather, the great big battle ahead.
So, Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point. Let me give you the final situation. Greg Proops, who hasn't played the show as much as the others, but did extraordinarily well. Finished in a marvellous fourth place with a lot of points, a lot of fun. Dara O'Brien, who's never played it before, finished in a magnificent third place. A lot of points there. Clement Freud, who has played it quite a lot of times, but he got a lot of points and he finished up in second place. But, yes, but on this particular show, a magnificent score. Never had so many points scored in a show before. 23 points. Paul Merton, a round of applause. Thank you. We have no more time to play Gus Minutes, I said, so it only remains to thank these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Greg Proops, and Dara O'Brien. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown her whistle so delicately and charmingly when the 60 seconds was up. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we're very grateful to this lovely festival fringe audience here at the Pleasance, who cheered us on our way, and I hope they've had a wonderful fringe benefit time. Yes. From me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye.